Talk with Doc. I know you've seen the title, The Cult of Geno Jennings. Yes, I'm going that direction, but I'm not only talking about what's going on from my viewpoint with Geno Jennings and his church, but I'm talking in general. And if you can answer these questions honestly and truthfully and say none of these things are going on in your church or none of these things are going on in his church, then you are not in a cult. But if you can answer these questions and legitimately say that these are the type of things that are going on at your church, your group, whatever you might be into, you are a cult member. And you need to do something to help yourself ASAP. You don't have to tomorrow, because each day you get indoctrinated more. You get deeper involved more. It's time to come out, save yourself, save your family, save your future. I will talk about other things, but I feel that this is a very important subject and I need to dive into it. So first things first, Geno Jennings. I found him, like most people, on social media, in particular YouTube. I was like, who is this guy? He sounded like Adolf Caesar from the Soldier Story, you know, very angry, but charismatic at the same time and sometimes funny. So I got caught up into listening to him. You know what? And there are signs of a cult, and the government has definition for them. Now, first of all, most people don't even know they join in a cult. They are systematically socially influenced. The pandemic has made an explosion of cult and cult-like figures. Gurus are also cult leaders. People that you take advice from that you have never sat down across the table from, who you don't know how they live their lives, they could be putting on a show. They could be a very good actor or actress who is selling you a bag of goods, but it's one of those do as I say, don't do as I do type deals. Now, I'm also going to say this. Not everything about a cult is 100% bad. Cults, for the most part that I know of, it seems to be anti-drug. So they have like an anti-drug policy. They want their membership neat and clean. That's also a positive thing. They want them focused. They want them working. They want them living a certain kind of lifestyle where they're not bothering other people. They're not getting involved with violence and nonsense of that sort. So those are some of the positive. If they keep you clean, if a person keeps clean because they joined the cult, that might be a positive, okay? Now, the type of cults we have are sexual cults, political cults. As you know, the cult of Donald Trump, that is a cult. And he is a cult leader. He's not a politician or a political figure. He just happens to run for office in the United States of America. You got the religious cults. You got the doomsday cult. If somebody's always preaching about there's an end date, you know that you are involved with some people who are going to eventually do a mass suicide, a mass killing, something of that nature. Now, you have to realize that all cult leaders are antichrists. They preach a false gospel. More than likely, they have bylaws, big book of bylaws, all kinds of rules. And they also have a Bible that has extra books that nobody has ever really heard of. They have a different God. And there's also the cult of personality, which is not as bad, but still is influencing other people to do things that they may not do. You know, these people, they're on TikTok, they're on YouTube, they're on X, they're on Facebook. They are just your celebrities, where these people put on pedestals that are above normal human beings. Now, one of the things that this leader does is he isolates his members from the rest of society. He tells them that they are set apart and they shouldn't always interact. If people don't believe the way we believe, then we should not be associated with them. Now, if you are involved with an organization like that, you are a member of a cult, more than likely. The cult leader will order the beliefs, the behavior, and customs of all the memberships. If you believe in celebrating a birthday and they tell you it's wicked and evil, then he is manipulating you. He's putting his beliefs and behaviors over your beliefs and behaviors. And he might even have some things that back it up. But you have to think about what you really believe in gut-wise. Because these cult members are going to be held to a very dogmatic and extreme beliefs. They have to be made to believe that they are set apart from normal people. The leader is going to be held without accountability. His word is final. His word is law. His word is what everybody should take their cue from. They also believe that all former members are wrong for leaving. There is no such thing as a legitimate reason to ever leave the organization. Nobody should ever leave us because we are the way, we are the truth, and we are the light. And that person is now wicked, confused, lost. They are against us, that type of thing. You know what I'm getting at. They also make the believers feel like they're never good enough. No matter what you do, no matter how close you feel you are to reaching that higher plateau, you can't reach it because you're not good enough. You're missing something. Some key ingredient is missing in you to validate them for saying that you are still not getting what you want or you feel you deserve. Your cult leader wants you to be obedient to them and their rules. We talked about they will have rules, bylaws, probably very big. They look for ways to break people. They prey on your weaknesses. They tap you on your back for your strengths. And they want people to work hard and long hours for little or no pay for the organization. If your church leader is asking you to come in and paint or clean or cook or do anything like that, even yard work, and they're not willing to pay you anything, or they're willing to pay you or embarrass you because you don't want to do so, then you're more than likely in a cult. Now, what happens is the believers start to believe that their leader is right about everything. And I mean everything. He has no fault. He becomes higher, or she becomes higher than God themselves. The person who's in the pulpit now is on the same level as deities. When they give thanks to the person before they give thanks even to God. The leader is going to be somebody who believes exclusively of they only know the truth. And you can only get validation through them. They are the only one who knows the truth. Everybody else is wrong. And they might spend a great deal of time attacking others and trying to prove that everybody else is wrong. And I'm the only one that is right. The leadership will dictate in great detail through their bylaws and rules how the members should think, how the members should act, how the members should feel about almost every subject. They'll need permission to do certain things, who to marry, what to wear, to have or to not have children, and even down to how to discipline your children. The church should not be telling you how to discipline your children, or if you don't discipline your children, that you're an abomination. The church uses the polarization of us versus them mentality. We spoke about that already. Everybody is them and we are only us. We are the only safe people. Everybody else is here to do us harm, to bring us down, to come, to put our name out there. They use the persecution factor. People love to feel so important that the world is against them. It gives them a great sense of pride that I am able to stand tall with this small group against the many. The leader starts becoming a special being. The group leader's special mission is to save humanity. No one pastor is going to save the world, no matter how he presents himself, no matter how many buildings he owns, how many temples he runs. He is not the savior of humanity. That job has been taken and filled by Jesus Christ already. And any man who tries to step in that position, he at best or she at best can be a messenger and nothing else. The group will become preoccupied with bringing in new members through special services, special, say, baptismals, going online, things of that nature. They will pretend like they don't care about having new members, but you're not going to build temple after temple if you don't want butts in the seats. You okay? Also, the most loyal members, the ones that are anointed by the head of the cult, will believe that they have no life outside the content of the group. The only thing that matters is the group and the group itself. They will say silly things like, it's all right to join the military, but if the military gets into a conflict, then you should call upon, use the church or use the group to say that you are just an observer. But you want all the benefits of being in the military, but none of the benefits of actually maybe having to hurt someone. It's always going to be the church is better than your church. My church is better than your church. And the leader is going to spend a great deal of time preaching on my church is better than your church. And here's the reason why: they are beneath us and we are above. You must make the members feel special. If one, you got to make them feel persecuted. Two, you got to make them come together as a joint by saying we must be strong together. And then you must explain to them over and over again that we are better than everybody else. We are the greatest. You must then have the leader preach the outsiders hate us and give many reasons why outsiders hate us, why people want to shut us down, why people want us offline, why people try to hack us, why people try to smear us, things of that nature. And then one of the key things that all cult members do is they will claim that at some point in time that God spoke directly to them, not through the word, not through prayer and meditation, but an audible voice that called them out by name and gave them a directive to do X, Y, and Z. Be very leery of anybody who said that God called them out by name. We know that Saul was spoken to directly, but we have not had a lot of times, even biblically, where God has taken the time to speak to man directly and call him by name. So we are talking about a person who feels they're on a special mission, like we said, to save humanity. It's a different directive than it's ever been given before. And they have their believers believe that this person is in such good standings that God plucked them out of billions upon billions upon billions of people who have lived on this earth and said to them, as though they were best of friends, I have this mission for you. But the mission doesn't really involve curing the sick. It doesn't involve feeding the hungry, sheltering those who need shelter. It's about building up the group, And then the leader will also pretend that they don't need nobody. See, that's another thing. They are so well taken care of that they don't need anybody, but they still take donations. They still take offerings. But because it's not the main focus, it's kind of subtle how they do it. So, as far as I'm concerned, and I know some of you have probably listened to me and said, why Geno Jennings? Because you know what? He's one of the most popular ones. There are a lot of churches out there that just has fools as members. And then you have a lot of people who are so deeply entwined that it's now a part of their bloodstream. And there's a difference. There's a difference between what's going on in some churches around the world. And then there's a big difference between what a person like Geno Jennings. Now, is he guilty of saying that God spoke directly to me? Yes, I've heard him with his own mouth claim that not only did God speak to him, God didn't even call him by his proper name. God is such his friend, he called him by his nickname. I mean, think about it. And he confused God's voice with his father's voice. And then his father threatened him. Why would God call you and even put you in a position where somebody would threaten to do you bodily harm because you just said, yes? What do you need me to do? That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, after hearing that, I never wanted anything to do with this type of thing again. I never want to see it. I don't go to the sites. I don't view any of the videos. I actually had a link. Yes, no doubt. I reached out to them and said that I would like to have a link from his church to my YouTube page. I thought it was a positive thing at the time. I thought that he was putting a message out there that maybe my little viewership, somebody come across and say, let me give a listen to that. I don't endorse this anymore. I'm ashamed of myself that I ever did. And I really don't care how somebody feels about how I think about this. But I want you to say, go back and ask yourself, have any of these things happened to you? Or any of these things going on in that building that you go and you think that you're reaching out to God? Any of these things, and if any of these things are happening to you, then you, my friend, are in a cult. You just don't know it. Back up off of it. Let it slide off you. Get the help that you need to recover from this wicked way of thinking. And I thank you for your time. And now I'm going to move on to the regular portion of the show. So Ron, the idiot DeSantis, has ended his presidential bid before he's even heading to New Hampshire, and he decides to endorse Donald Trump. The Republicans are clowns. Ron DeSantis is a clown. How he runs Florida is an abomination. How the people of Florida keep him in office, I don't understand. When somebody talks about you like a dog, you know, you don't have to endorse them. He could say, you know what, I would have more respect for him if he says, I'm stepping back, I'm stepping out, but my conscience, my soul, my character will not allow me to endorse this man. I cannot do it. A man with 3 criminal trials going on, accused of sexually assaulting and found guilty and liable of sexually assaulting a woman, and you call yourself some kind of Christian, and you say that you can co-sign his play that evolves around racism, hate, anger, viciousness, with little to no intelligence involved. You know what? Screw yourself, Ron DeSantis. So Law and Order came back. SUV, Law and Order, the regular show, the OG show, and Organized Crime. Saturday Night Live also returned. Now, was it good? No, I don't know this guy from this Saltburn movie. Saltburn doesn't seem interesting to me. It seems kind of a whacked out crazy movie. I have no interest in seeing it, and I'm not going to see it. The musical guest, some lady named Rap, Laura Rap or something like that, she was corny. I mean, did it have its moments? It had some moments, some moments. But SNL on the whole is not very good on a week-to-week basis. And I don't know. So we have a college football player named Cam McCormick. He He's going to be returning for his ninth season. I did not stutter. I did not stammer. I did not say anything out the ordinary. Ninth season. Why Mr. Cam McCormick and his parents can't tell him, son, the dream is over. It's time to get out in the workforce. You're 25 years old. You need to get a job. This dude better be working on his master's or doctorate by now, because this is a shame that we got this dude still around 18, 19-year-old young ladies in college settings. He started at Oregon. He's at the University of Miami. He makes no sense. So Frankie Edgar from the UFC he's going to be inducted into their Hall of Fame. Frankie Edgar had a nice, long, good career. I have no problems with this at all. This past weekend, we had the UFC pay-per-view. Sean Strickland lost his title to Du Plessis. I'm not a big fan of either one of these gentlemen, so I am not going to really go into this card. Raquel Pennington finally won a title after all these years in the UFC. I couldn't even watch this card because I'm not really with Sean Strickland, and I'm definitely not with anything Du Plessis says. So I passed. UFC will not be returning to 2-3-2024. You got Roman Dolidis versus Nakhradin Emelov. Those are the headliners for that card. Also, the WWE next weekend will be having the Royal Rumble. I'll get into that next week when it happens. I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble. I'm hoping that Seth Rollins is able to participate, and if he's not, that he could play some kind of role. I don't know where they're going to go with that. The Warriors lost their assistant coach, Dejan Mikovic. He had a heart attack at the team dinner. I don't know how horrifying this might have been for the players to have to witness. He could be somebody that they care a lot about. He was only 46 years old. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the Warriors team. Maybe this will be a rallying point because they wasn't doing too well, and maybe this will boost them up, and they'll dedicate the rest of the season to the former coach. The NBA, they only had one trade. Pascal Siakam was traded to the Pacers for Bruce Brown and multiple first-round picks. So the Raptors get Bruce Brown. The Pacers get Pascal Siakam, who won a world championship with Toronto. Bruce Brown won a world championship with the Nuggets last year. I think they both are going to benefit from this trade. Now, I like to bring up what I call the games of the week in the NBA. Tonight, you got San Antonio versus the 76ers. You got the Celtics going up against the Mavericks. You got Atlanta going up against Sacramento Kings. Tuesday, you got the Nuggets taking on Indiana with Pascal Siakam now. You got the Battle of New York, the Knicks versus the Nets. You got the Jazz versus the Pelicans. You got the Battle of L.A., the Lakers versus the Clippers. Wednesday, you got the Cavs going into Milwaukee to play the Bucks. You got the Suns going into Dallas to play the Mavs. You got OKC and the Spurs. You got the Hawks versus Golden State. You got the 76ers versus the Pacers. You got the Timberwolves going into Brooklyn to play the Nets. Thursday, you got the Celtics versus the Heat. You got the Nuggets versus the Knicks. Sacramento versus Golden State. Friday, you got the Mavs versus Atlanta, Suns versus the Pacers, Cavs versus the Bucks, OKC versus the Pelicans. You got the Trailblazers going into San Antonio to play the Spurs. Saturday, you got the Heat versus the Knicks, 76ers versus the Nuggets, the Clippers versus the Celtics, the Pelicans versus the Bucks, Timberwolves versus Spurs, the Lakers versus Golden State, and the Kings versus the Mavericks. Sunday, you got Toronto going into Atlanta to play the Hawks. And those are what I consider to be the best basketball games of the week. All pro center for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you got to put this in quote unquote. Jason Kelce is going to retire. This dude is playing games. I'm retiring. I'm not retiring. He seems to like the attention that his brother Travis gets. And now it's falling on him. The commercials, being an all-pro, being in the Super Bowl, that's not enough right now. He's on a power trip as far as ego goes. And you know what? I feel kind of bad for him because he needs to let that team know what direction he's going. And he's like 36 years old. He's taking a beating. But, you know, he acted up last night at the game. So we really don't know what he's going to do until he officially does it. Mike McCarthy is going to remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Am I tremendously happy about this? No, I'm not. The fact that Mike McCarthy said that they were championship caliber team is true. That they on the right schedule to win a championship, I can't agree with that. That he wants to bring back Dan Quinn after the Cowboys defense couldn't handle any winning team's offense for the most part all season, I'm not happy about that at all. The players might like Dan Quinn because he might not come down on them hard. But wearing a hat backwards and thinking you're cool because you're 60 and you're white with a hat on backwards really doesn't do anything for me. Now, before I jump into the playoff games, I have to mention this. The PGA had a rookie, a sophomore in college, beat some of the world's best golfers in a tournament. I don't understand what's going on with the PGA. I don't go understand what's going on with the players. I don't know where their sense of pride falls when you let a 20-year-old dude who's in college beat you and you are a tour. And some of these guys are major champions. I know everybody has a good day, but he has four better days than you, and this is your profession. What is going on with our world? Now, the NFL playoffs this week, you had the Ravens beat the Texans 34-10. The Ravens came out cold. That rest for these 2.5-3 weeks really made them suffer in the first half. They brought C.J. Stroud down to earth. And, you know, Lamar was Lamar. He rushed for over 100 yards. He scored 2 rushing touchdowns. I did not expect Texans to win this game. But the Texans had what I would call a very successful season. You had a rookie head coach in Ryans. You had a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. You found out that Nico Collins is the real deal. Singletary's a good running back. That team should be solid and a problem going forward. So congratulations on a good season. Congratulations to the Ravens for going to the AFC Championship. San Francisco had to struggle with the Packers, and they eventually beat them 24-21. Green Bay has found their quarterback in Jordan Love. San Francisco also looked like they struggled from having all that time off, but they rebounded and they gutted it out and they won this game. The Lions beat Tampa Bay 31-23. The Lions are going to the NFC Championship for the first time in like 30-something years. They look pretty good. Tampa Bay, I like the way Mike Evans looked. I like the way that Baker Mayfield looked. I think that Tampa should take another chance and maybe re-sign Baker instead of doing a restart. Baker's proven that he is an NFL quality caliber quarterback. And last night, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Bills in Buffalo 27-24. Field goal kickers missing pressure field goals. Coaches have got to coach these field goal kickers up. I don't know what they got to do. They got to put them in pressure situations and not just evaluate their talent, but evaluate their mental strength in situations that might not be the best. Think about it. This guy missed a field goal to tie this game, and he did this at home with his own crowd behind him. It wasn't like he missed this in Kansas City. You know, and I feel bad for the Bills. They can't seem to get over the Kansas City hump. So now you got the Kansas City Chiefs going to play the Ravens in Baltimore next weekend. And I'm really hoping that the Ravens come out and play four solid quarters of football. Don't get a slow start and don't take their foot off the gas in the third and fourth quarter. And I have the Ravens beating the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. The Lions are going to play San Francisco in San Francisco. I am going to take the underdog and say that the Lions beat San Francisco in San Francisco in a gut check game. They have a solid team. They have a solid coach. Only thing he needs to do is Dan Campbell. If something's in question, throw that red flag. You don't get any extra money on your paycheck by keeping it in your pocket. So I have the Ravens playing the Lions for the Super Bowl, and we could talk about that later, what I think will happen. Please, people, if you even think for a second, because you really won't feel like you are in a cult, you will never feel like you joined a cult. People don't go out of their way to do this, you know, unless it benefits them. Now, and that would be more than likely the cult that would be beneficial to a male would be some form of a sexual cult, not a doomsday cult, a religious cult, or a political cult, unless they're the leader. But if it's a sexual cult that allows male members to engage with multiple female partners, men will join. But that's why I say, for the most part, people do not realize they're even in. Watch out for bylaws. Watch out for somebody telling you how to treat your mate, your children. When it comes to the point where the leader is even telling you if you can hold hands or not, if you can hug or give a peck on a kid's cheek in public, if you can wear shorts or not wear shorts, I mean, down to the color of your socks, then you are in a cult, my friend. If somebody tells you if you leave the group that no members of the group can no longer talk to you, no longer socialize with you, no longer take your emails, your phone calls, then you're in a cult. If somebody's telling you how to conduct yourself on social media, not trusting that you're an adult enough to know right from wrong, to be able to discern situations on your own, that you were blessed with a brain, a heart, and a soul that you have control over, not an outside force, you're in a cult. If you are being told that everybody's out to get us and the only safe haven is right here within these walls, you're in a cult. So please don't put no human being above other human beings. Some of us are smarter. Some of us are not as bright. Some of us are rich. Some of us are poor. Some of us are short. Some of us are tall. But we're all human beings. And when we cut, we bleed. We are not the saviors of the planet. And if your group has a save the world mentality, they're wrong. They're never going to do it. It wasn't set up that way. Nor should you believe that that's the right way to go about it. And I'm going to tell you, like I tell you each and every time, I appreciate you. Come back. Subscribe if you like. Share if you like. Comment, which is the most important thing to me, is always beautiful. I love to hear from you. And I will be back next week. And next week, we're going to discuss, we had AD and BC. We all heard of AD and BC. But we need to discuss before Trump and after Trump. Meaning, before Trump was just a reality TV star. And then after Trump became a political cult figure. So we will delve into that next week. I appreciate you once again. I hope that you have a good week. I hope that you get those green lights and health reports that you need. I hope that you stay strong. Use your brain. Don't be anybody's fool or sucker. Treat people how you would like yourself to be treated. And peace to you and peace to yours.